Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good evening. It's Spooky Boo Rhodes from the KSND radio station in Sandcastle, California. Nowhere else will you get such delightfully deranged stories from the depths of the internet. Tonight in Sandcastle, I have for you three very creepy stories from the Creepypasta Library that will terrify you. But first, come grab a copy of Sandcastle Horror Volume 1 in print. These are the stories from my other podcasts, Sandcastle Horror. Visit my Amazon author page to find all of the stories that I've written about Sandcastle, or on the Darknet Horror Stories and Other Tales of Horror. Just visit www.spookybooroads.com to get all of my links, including my podcasts, YouTube, and my Amazon author page. Now let's begin. Uncaged by Gomez Capulet. I killed my wife and kids. I mean, I didn't, but I did, and it's my fault. I take these really expensive pills. They came up with them about 10 years back to treat my condition. They're not a cure, but they help. I took the wrong pill last night. Mine is green. My wife, Sharon, left her blue allergy pills on the table. I've never had the best eyes in the world. I got confused. I should have double-checked. I should have noticed. I didn't. I took the wrong pill. That's what happened. That's my reality, and I'm so sorry I had to make it theirs. I wish I could fix it. I got home from work at 6. She was already putting my boys, Alex and Craig, to bed. I talked her into letting them stay up and watch TV with us for a little while. We put on some sitcoms Sharon loved, and I popped one of those frozen meal lovers pizzas in the oven for my dinner. That's when I grabbed a bottle from the counter and put a pill in my mouth. I didn't really think about it. I always take that same pill every month, and there had never been an issue before. I swallowed it without water and returned to watch TV with my wife and the boys while the pizza baked. 20 minutes later, I took it out of the oven, and though I intended to save some for lunch at work the next day, I found myself hunched over the stovetop, ravenously shoving the nourishment into my mouth without so much as waiting for it to cool. It burned my hands and mouth, but I took no notice. The sun was going down. I was already starting to feel it coming on, but I told myself it was just anxiety. I returned to my family in the living room. We watched an episode of The Simpsons. Sharon insisted they go to bed afterward. I forced them to say a prayer. I'm not really religious, but my dad always had us pray before bed, and even now, I think about what I've become since he passed. Anyway, I put the boys to bed, and after reading to them for maybe half an hour, I headed to my wife and I's bedroom. She was wearing the white robe I got her last Christmas. I was feeling very excited, so I tried to put the moves on her. She responded with a sad face, "Sorry, babe, not tonight. I had a really rough day at work." We didn't have a loveless or troubled marriage. We were very happy. We talked for a little while about some bitch who had been making trouble for her with the boss. Eventually, she fell asleep, and I wasn't feeling too hot myself. I went to the bathroom and took a cold shower to try and feel better. When I got out, I saw my reflection in the foggy mirror above our dirty-ass sink. It was a sight I recognized immediately from childhood. I was changing into the wolf creature. My muscles and bones were slowly reshaping themselves as my skin tightened and shifted. It wasn't very far along yet. I thought I could stop it. I ran down to the kitchen to find my pills. I grabbed the bottle from earlier in the evening and read Sharon's name on the label. My own had fallen into the sink. I uncapped it and downed two pills immediately. That's when I fell to the ground and the pain began. In my human life, I've broken an arm and both legs in a car accident. I've also dislocated a knee in a drunken fight and been stung by wasps over the majority of my body. It's safe to say I'm not super lucky. All that pain is nothing in comparison to changing into the creature. It's a bit like having every bone fracture and 100 times over while you're cooked from the inside. Actually, it's a lot worse than that, but I'm not great with words. I tried to call out to warn Sharon and the kids to leave. I could handle the pain and paying for whatever damages I would end up doing to the house. I was unable to make any sound other than a low growl. As I lay there on the cold kitchen floor, staring out the window, up at the full and hellish moon, I prayed to any god, angel, or spirit that might listen. I prayed for death. That was all I wanted. I just needed it to be over and my family to be safe. The pain started to subside, but the transformation was not complete. I was a little misshapen and a bit hairier than usual, but was without a doubt still a man. I sighed with relief. The pills had worked. I wouldn't become the monster again. I managed to stand up and start heading back to the bedroom. I was so eager to be with my wife in bed, and now that the ordeal was over, I walked quickly. Then I was running. Then I was on all fours. Then I twisted 1,000 ways in under 3 seconds, and the hunger took over as the transformation finally completed, and I was gone. I still could see out of my eyes, but the will moving my now horrific body was the will of a violent animal. It burst through the bedroom door. It snapped my wife's neck before she woke, and then proceeded to chew at her breasts like an oversized dog playing with a squeaky toy. I could taste the blood. I can still taste the blood. Then it went to the boys' room. They cried so much. I tried to fight back from inside, but it did what it wanted to before returning to the bed I shared with my wife, and slowly and joyfully ripping her from limb before falling into a deep sleep. I took the wrong pill. I shouldn't have, but I did. When I woke, the creature was gone. It was just me and the bloody bed filled with bits of the woman I promised to love until death to us part. I'm going to put a silver bullet in my brain in an hour. I need to be put down. I'm so sorry I made this happen. Story number 2, The Cave of Bones, by The Way It Went Wrong. My wife and I had just recently purchased a new house. After an incident that occurred that rendered our previous home unlivable, my wife and I were desperate for a new place to live. With the little money I had left, I fought through the rough until I eventually found us a suitable place to live. It was a quaint, cozy kind of small, but that was all right by us. It was near the local grocery store, near some of our favorite restaurants, and was in a nice, quiet suburban neighborhood with seemingly nice neighbors. This was a house that the two of us were willing to buy and be happy about. Everything was going great until we met the seller of the house. I had pictured him as a normal guy, but he seemed far from normal. He appeared to be in his mid-40s, Caucasian, with odd body proportions. His head seemed too large for his neck, and his arms seemed unnaturally large and bulky compared to the rest of his body. His hair, or at least what was left of it, was messy and seemed almost charred. His clothes were tattered and dirty, and he had this deranged look in his eyes. He kept talking fast and stuttering with his words, and made quick erratic jolts at random intervals. Me and my wife both agreed this man looked completely insane, and we didn't know what could have been the cause. We were starting to get hesitant to purchase the house, but after giving the place a very thorough inspection, and by thorough, I mean touching the walls and everything to find secret entrances, we found nothing unusual. This was a perfectly normal living space. It was just the cellar of the place that was putting us off. The two of us finally came to an agreement, and we purchased the house. We later cleaned the place up and once again found nothing strange about the place. No secret entrances or items or interest. Everything was normal, and we were fine with that. Me and my wife attempted to put the past behind us and started moving in some old furniture into the new place. It took a while, but everything was finally set up. It was really starting to feel like a home again, and the two of us were content with it. It wasn't until a few days later that things got out of hand. Our new house had a small fenced-in backyard with a tall oak tree in the northwest corner. My wife had gone out one day to examine the area and found a small red flag behind the tree. When she went to inspect the flag, she noticed it was positioned atop some grass and weeds that seemed out of place, like they were pulled from the ground and placed over the actual ground. She called me over to help inspect, and when I got over there, I picked up the patch of grass and found a hole underneath it, with a ladder leading down into it. Me and my wife looked at each other. We both had that sense of fear and confusion in our eyes, but most of all, overwhelming curiosity. I went down the ladder and into the hole with my wife not far behind, and when I reached the bottom, what I saw made me nearly scream. As my wife followed behind, she nearly screamed along with me. This was something far worse than what we could have ever expected. It was a large, seemingly hand-dug tunnel, almost the size of a subway station, and hanging on each of the tunnel walls were hundreds and hundreds of human bones. Me and my wife gazed in awe at what we were seeing. I swear I felt like I was going to faint at that moment. As the two of us gradually developed the courage to continue down the tunnel, it kept getting worse. There was dried blood scattered along the walls and floors at various intervals, and the occasional piece of severed intestine could be found pulsating on the floor. The scent alone would have been enough to make me vomit, but my attention was quickly diverted when I heard the sound of a faint, pained scream. It sounded vaguely human, but it was too far away to be sure. At this point, we had gone too far in, and there was no turning back. So me and my wife reluctantly continued down the cave. As we went further in, there was more blood and intestines splattered about, and the scream kept getting louder and more clear. My heart was racing, and my mind was racing. I couldn't go on any longer, but I needed to know what sat at the end of that tunnel. With more hesitance, my wife and I continued down the tunnel until we finally reached the end. Before then, we didn't know what to expect to be there at the end of the tunnel, but nothing we could have possibly thought of could have been any worse than what we actually saw. Sitting there in a deformed chair was a human male, at least what might have once been a human male. His hands were tied behind his back, and he had a dirty gray blindfold over his eyes. There were gashes and large incisions throughout his body, blood seeping and intestines hanging loosely from the open wound, with sewing marks near the connection points of many of his limbs. He had a multitude of arms and legs sewn to his chest, shoulders, arms, and back thrashing and thriving about. The man was covered in blood and various other unknown fluids, and he was screaming in absolute agony. It was the kind of scream that made your skin crawl just by hearing it. The man thrashed about and fell out of his chair and onto the hard stone floor, where he lied there on the floor, blindfold fallen off, squirming and chewing on what might have been his own liver. My wife and I stood there in horror, not a sound escaping from our bodies as the man continued to thrash about on the floor. We even stood there in shock as one of his eyes popped out of its socket, blood trickling from the eye socket. I started to back away slowly as my hand grazed up against the wall, and I felt what might have been a button. Out of pure instinct, I pressed the button, and I turned around to see my suspicions were true. But as I turned my eyes back to the man, something horrifying was moments away from taking place. The whole place began to shake violently, and everything began to crumble around us. Suddenly, everything came to a halt, and a huge rock fell from a large hole in the ceiling. The rock fell at intense speed and landed with a harsh, ground-shaking thud, crushing the poor man's body and leaving only a head left. Even after the man's clear demise, I swear I could still see the man's pupils race around and make quick, darting glances. My wife and I couldn't take it anymore. We fled the scene and climbed out of the tunnel. We immediately called the police to investigate the area, and they were on the scene immediately. I clearly cannot disclose the information I was told about the man or his heinous acts within the tunnel, as the investigation is still underway, but I can say this. That man, that lunatic man that sold us the place, was not merely some deranged goon. He was an absolute lunatic. Hellbent on pushing humans to their limit through his horrific experimentations. He was a truly deranged man that needed to be locked away forever for his heinous crimes against humanity. My wife and I are currently attempting to sell the house, as the two of us both agree that we cannot stay near that place any longer. Currently, we've had no buyers, but we're hoping soon we can move far away from that forsaken place and move to somewhere better. You know, I really would have liked that place if it wasn't for the horrors I had seen. I should have never trusted that man in the first place. I can still hear the pained screams of that poor victim in the tunnel in my head, of the squirming limbs jetting from the rest of his body, of the sound of the large boulder crushing the poor man's body to a pulp. It was deplorable. I just hope that man is in a better place now.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Story number 3, A Chance Encounter, by Crossbones 116. During my summer vacation, I had decided I would get in touch with nature and also try to get into better physical shape. So on a particularly sunny Tuesday morning, I hopped into my car and drove down to the countryside for a walk, where I could do those two things at the same time. Just as I had hoped, the weather remained pleasant once I reached my destination. Clear blue skies without a single cloud in view, vast hills of green, green grass as far as the eye can see, with only a few clusters of tall trees scattered about the hilltops. and when I looked out far enough to the horizon, I could see sparkling blue seas stretching on for what seemed to be infinity. I loved the city, but hell, this place looked amazing. Still, I get the feeling the novelty would wear off quickly if I stayed around too long. I set off walking, heading up the nearest and the steepest hill before me. The fresh air was bracing and clean compared to what I'm used to in the city. The sweet sounds of nature filled my ears, from the distant chirping of birds to the whistling winds that faded in and out of earshot regularly. The place was so serene, but despite the beauty of it all, I felt uneasy. I'm not sure how to explain it to you, but it just feels strange to be the only human around, you know? There's a sense of isolation and the feeling in the back of your mind that nobody would be around to help you if something happened. Despite this, I pressed on, walking up the hill until I was walking through one long cluster of trees. There was a growing stench in the air that I noticed more and more as I progressed up the side of the long hill. The smell of decaying leaves, but there was a faint hint of smoke in the air. Smelling that made me a little nervous, but I brushed the thought aside. Hell, some plants probably smell like that naturally. I'd hardly know either way. As I walked through the trees, the wind blew up again, and I heard the faint noise of singing. It grew louder and louder over the span of a few seconds, and then it suddenly died down entirely. And then I heard a voice, a sweet and soft voice that sent chills down my spine. For some reason. "Hello there. What brings you out to my neck of the woods?" I turned quickly, half expecting to see some leather-face-like monstrosity, and to my surprise it was a woman standing before me. A rather attractive one at that. She was a little on the short side and somewhat skinny, and her skin was strangely pale. Her hair was black and curly, and a little frazzled in some parts.
Just going for a walk. I didn't mean to intrude on you, miss.
Don't worry about it. It's nature. You can go wherever you please. In these parts, nobody owns this part of the hill. Part of me still felt uneasy. This woman, whoever she was, seemed to just teleport in, not a single sound indicating her approach. Maybe the wind drowned out the noise, but... well, there were no signs of footprints anywhere near her. "So I take it you like it here?" It's a really stupid question to ask, but I was nervous at the same time and just blurted it out. Thankfully, this mysterious woman was a kind individual and didn't mock me over the stupid question.
"Sure do. I was born and raised in this part of the country. Feels like I've been here forever."
That sickly scent grew a little more intense in my nostrils, and I tried my best to suppress my disgust at the smell.
"I'm not alone, though. I have a husband and a daughter, and we're always eager to meet new people," she added.
The more I looked at this woman, the more ill she began to look. Her eyes became more and more sunken in whenever I looked at them. And I began to notice a few cuts, bruises, and burns along her arms. Had they always been there? Had I just not noticed them before now?
"Well, that's good to hear. Family is important and all," I replied, feeling more awkward and uncomfortable around this nameless woman.
"Ain't that the truth? Hey, why don't you come by our house for lunch? It's just over that hill there." She pointed upward, and I followed up to the hilltop where her finger was pointing. A sudden wind kicked up, making me flinch, and once I turned around, I noticed the woman I was just chatting to had completely vanished. At the time, I thought this was just some sort of creepy prank being played on me. You know, country folk wanting to get a good laugh on the city kid. I laughed nervously to take the edge off, but I was utterly alone at that time. Seeing that this woman wasn't going to reappear anytime soon, I continued trekking up the hill to continue what I came here to do. The walk up the steep hill gradually took my mind off the strange events from earlier. The ambience of nature took hold of me again. The soft sounds of birdsong and grass crunching underfoot filling my ears. That smell persisted and just continued to grow stronger. I came over the hill and was greeted by a sight that made my heart stop, beads of cold sweat breaking out along my body from the sudden fear. A burnt-out husk of a house on one relatively flat patch of land beneath the other slope of the hill. The flames, whenever they had come about, hadn't actually reached any trees, thankfully. I don't know why, but I started moving down the hill, getting closer and closer to the smoked-out ruin to investigate it. I can't quite tell how long ago this fire happened, but the freshness of the smell makes me think that it couldn't have been more than a day or two. The flames hadn't spread too far from the structure, and whoever owned the place seemed to clear out all the grass that surrounded their home. Lucky, too, could have set this whole place ablaze. When I reached the clearing and got a better look at the burnt-out home, I had to hold my shirt up to my nose. Anything to block out the stench. I surveyed the ruin, pressed closer to it until I felt something loudly crunch underfoot. I pulled my foot back and then a bone, a scorched human bone, cracked under what I had just walked on. My eyes trailed up against my better judgment, coming to rest on the collection of burnt human bones trapped beneath a layer of dirt and ash. One empty socket stared at me, shook me to my core, and sent me staggering backward. I looked away, tried to clean the horrible sight from my mind, but as soon as I looked away, I saw another skeleton. This one was lighter and slightly shorter, and going by the anatomy, I think it was a woman's skeleton. And there, cradled in that female's lifeless bony arms, were the small, scorched remains of a child's skeleton. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed these stories, head on over to my website at www.scarystorytime.com and make a comment. I'd also love to hear from you on social media or YouTube. Just search for Spooky Boo Roads. I'd like to thank the listeners and Patreon members, including Mad Joe, Dr. Joe Blob, P.A. Nightmares, Ivy Iverson, John Newby, Lana, and Bobby Elliott. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast commercial-free, visit my Patreon page at www.spookyboo.club. That's all for tonight. I'll see you in your nightmares.